Hey everybody, thanks for joining us today. I'm Tomer Levy and I'm VP of Engineering for Enterprise Imaging under Change Healthcare. And we wanted to discuss today or share with everybody some strategies about enterprise imaging and specifically cloud adoption and how cloud influences enterprise strategies for organizations. We have with us here today Ken Buchel. And maybe before we get even started with the question, Ken, do you want to take a couple of minutes just to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you, Tomer. My name is Ken Buchel, and I'm a vice president here at Bronson Healthcare Group in information technology. Bronson Healthcare Group is a mid-sized healthcare system located in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We have four hospitals and over 400 employed physicians working at numerous locations across Southwest Michigan. So glad to be here.
Cool. So Ken, maybe before we dive into the interesting topic of enterprise imaging in cloud, maybe just, let's take the wider view. And where does enterprise imaging sit in your overall IT and enterprise strategy?
Yeah, I think that's a fascinating question, Tomer. When we talk about our overall IT strategy, you know, we really strive for, as an organization, to provide an exceptional technology experience for our clinicians, our employees, and even our patients. And I think when you look at the handful of key technologies that are used by a clinical delivery organization, I think it's really important. Medical imaging is one of the top five technologies that is really, you know, shown to the forefront of how important you can have to engage both the clinician and the patient in that care continuum. And so obviously we invest a ton of dollars into the infrastructure and into the tools that are being used in medical imaging. And so we always wanted to make sure that our strategy supports the investment that we're making. And I think oftentimes it's something that's overlooked, that sometimes people don't have maybe the resources, the governance, and even just the foresight to take an approach on medical imaging compared to some of the other investments that you make.
You mentioned, Ken, a fascinating point about patients, and I go back to one of the discussions we had a couple of months back, and you mentioned the fact that today you have more patients log into your system than actual clinicians and internal stakeholders. Can you double click on that and maybe talk a little bit how imaging fits into your patient engagement strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, it's, the patient's experience and engagement is often overlooked as an organization's, making a purchasing choice or making a technology decision. But we have been very sort of proactive in our patient engagement and our digital strategy experience that we're really, trying to make sure that the tools that we're moving forward with have a patient-centric approach to it. So, when we had talked previously, I used the example of our patient portal or our electronic health system. With our EMR, we have clinicians who use it, employees who use it, and patients who use it. And the reality is if you look at how many people are accessing our patient portal, which is really just an extension of the medical record, we have at times on any given month, 60, 70,000 people logging in and using that for different workflows, accessed information, and so forth. Bronson, being a mid-sized healthcare system, only has 8,000 employees. And so from that perspective, you could see that who's actually using this information, we've skewed the technology and the delivery system in obviously the delivery system's favor, but the patients really should have a much stronger voice maybe than they do. So when we talk about enterprise imaging, one of the things that we look forward into the future is really just having a more ubiquitous access to the medical imaging that we currently have. And I think being able to provide patients with not only just direct access to their results, which is pretty commonplace, but but not having to go to the file room to get a copy of a recent study, or if they want a second opinion, that they should be able to get those things. It's just a little bit easier than they can now. So
this is unbelievable. And so along the same lines, I mean, are you also considering not only allowing access, but also providing more control of how information is being used? I mean, moving the responsibility for the information to be more on the patient side rather than just the consumer? Or is this, in your mind, Ken, too far into the future right now? And I'm asking specifically about imaging, maybe.
Yeah, I think on the imaging side, we definitely would want people to be able to have the capability to receive the information. And I think in some cases, maybe even add information if they find, you know, that let's say that they went to another healthcare facility and have a copy of a study that they feel would be meaningful. Again, easier ways to plug that into the medical record or our imaging system, you know, I think are all things that we're looking forward to in a cloud-based strategy. I think all of us would realize that that's just easier to do if mm-hmm. it's something in a more shared environment or a more cloud-based environment. So I think that's definitely on our roadmap. It's obviously not something that we're focusing on maybe in the near term or and so our goal would be to provide that broad access.
Very interesting. So I think the long-term vision of cloud is, you know, it has definitely the potential that you mentioned, but I know that organizations, and I'm sure you are as well, Ken, are facing day-to-day challenges. Were there any more immediate reasons that you chose to be very proactive and proactive probably the word, with your cloud strategy? Things that drove you more in the short term, challenges that you're thinking to overcome by adopting a more cloud forward strategy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, medical imaging in itself can present, I guess, several sort of short-term challenges. You know, clearly for us, the care and feeding from an infrastructure perspective is always something that we struggle with as you work into, you know, the broader ecosystem of storage, of the ecosystem of servers, the desktop environments that you have to maintain, the challenge of those cycles that you get into. And then it's hard to break that wheel of getting out of it. So from our perspective, you know, one of the short-term goals that we had was to sort of get out of the game of just, you know, every 2 to 3 years buying X amount of storage and then replacing it with X amount of storage at the same or slightly lower cost, entering into these protracted negotiations with storage vendors, because that work doesn't really provide any additional business value. Obviously, you know, all organizations need data storage. All medical imaging systems have to have that capability. But by being able to shift to a cloud-focused strategy, it just allows us to use additional elements of whether it be sort of storage as a service layered on with software as a service to get more out of the investment that we would have just made by doing a straight infrastructure play. We also see a huge benefit of just time freeing up some of our resources. And while it's maybe not in the short term, the midterm really sees us, you know, being able to shift the role that we have within information technology or the radiation technology space and shift that role from being a sort of a technician, somebody who goes out and fixes a radiologist workstation or does a software upgrade or focuses on really those day-to-day routine tasks that are really just keeping the lights on, to more of a consultant, to really how can we shift those resources to drive more business value out of that technology investment that we make, that significant technology investment that we make as an organization. So those are really the drivers for us is really to move away from that sort of routine work that we do.
This perspective that you're offering, right, about the short-term expectations or the immediate expectations for results from cloud, I think is very important. You know, in many cases, when you ask leaders in the industry about the potential of cloud, I think everybody can very easily describe the vision. You know, from AI to leverage data to be an amazing organization that can share information with everybody, but getting there and what immediate problems we solve with cloud today is something not everybody can clearly articulate. And I think you described it very well, so thank you for that perspective. Yeah, I remember, Ken, that last summer CNA, we had a symposium on cloud and all, and you know, we were talking about the adoption of AI and the potential of AI to change the you know, enterprise imaging and how cloud has a role in that. And then you said, yeah, but my challenge is that I got a 10% cut in my budget this year, so this is the problem I need to fix. And I think anyone in this industry that tries to introduce cloud or talk about enterprise imaging strategies that don't address those immediate concerns, you know, is disconnected from reality.
Yeah, and I totally would agree, Tomer. I think ultimately, you know, we all aspire to, you know, take this to that sort of next generation of healthcare with AI and really advanced workflows to really have the clinicians really have all of this data and information really being turned from what it is now into something that's incredibly valuable. The hard part is with someone with a very flat or declining IT budget, I can't make a sell. I can't sell our IT steering committee or board on making an investment that doesn't have any realistic short-term benefits. And whether those benefits are financial or those benefits are operational efficiencies or patient care, they have to be tangible. And I think as a small to mid-sized healthcare system in Southwest Michigan, AI is a little aspirational, and I think that's one of the pitfalls of journeys to the cloud or buying, you know, certain approaches, is that you just don't get that tangible value in the short term. So for us, we just wanted to keep it simple. It was really about, you know, we had an infrastructure need that we needed to address, and so can we do it differently and better for the same or less cost? Can we improve the intangible things like IT security and disaster recovery, you know, performance, you know, reducing complexity? Can we do all of those things at the same time? And then also improve access to the information for our clinicians, improve access to the information for our patients, improve communication across the care team. All of that then becomes a really easy thing to sell. Whether you're doing it in the cloud or whether you're doing it on-prem, it's those really tangible, easy things that make a difference.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, Ken. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Ken, there, and I understand if you can't share all the details, but is there a definition of success to your enterprise imaging strategy over the next 2 years, and specifically for the cloud adoption that you can share with us today?
Yeah, so our goal is really, we have a near and a far goal when it comes to enterprise imaging and our migration to the cloud. Our now measures of success or goals are really to migrate some of our storage archive and kind of, again, some of the infrastructure aspects that we get tied up into. We'd like to get that out to the cloud, and the goal would be to that those things are performing as good or better than they're performing currently on premise. And in some cases, some of that should be completely transparent to our end users. In addition, we'll be including a new cloud-based viewer, which will, again, open the doors to this information that we currently have a little bit of struggle with to provide a broad access, mainly just because we're tied to, you know, fat client viewers or radiology workstations that really create some bottlenecks on who can see and access this information in different ways. So, you know, a cloud-based viewer with the right tools that can not only meet the specialist needs, but also the reference or ordering provider's needs, I think is something, you know, that we see as an important part of doing this and gaining that short-term value. And then, you know, our approach is iterative or phased. And so then in the near term and in the far future, you know, our goal would be to continue to look for opportunities to move to, you know, cloud-based approaches to maybe the radiologist workstation and the diagnostic viewer that's used by radiologists. We have a unique approach to partners that we have with in the medical imaging space. And so again, providing a different and or direct access to our imaging environment or our VNA would also be sort of in that near and far future. So our goal is to iterate very much like how cloud-based technology is being delivered, just really sort of looking for those incremental improvements as opposed to the big bang events that we're all used to.
Thank you. I want to double click for a few minutes on cloud strategies. And I'm interested about your perspective and views about, you know, first of all, what was done in Bronson and then generally in the industry, how you see things evolve, and specifically about the two approaches we see for cloud adoption. One is software as a service. When you go to a software vendor and consume the software from, you know, basically from this vendor, whether it's hosted on a public cloud or it doesn't matter, but consume it as a service for software application. Or in other cases, you know, platform as a service, where you contract directly with a cloud or a hosting provider, and then it is you as the provider's responsibility as an IT organization to move the different applications to the, you know, data center that you created in the cloud. And I'm, you know, as we engage with different customers and healthcare providers, we see a mix of those approaches. And I'm curious to your views about, you know, differences, advantages of the, you know, software as a service approach versus the platform as a service.
Yeah, and so I think it's a fascinating question that has evolved over the last, you know, 5 years or so. Software as a service, platform as a service, you have infrastructure as a service really kind of in the middle there. And, you know, I think Bronson has been maybe a little bit conservative in its approach to moving to the cloud. I mean, every organization does some version of software as a service. It's just a matter of the breadth and then the level of connectivity and the importance of it. So we have a fair amount of experience with software as a service. We don't have as much experience on the platform as a service or even the infrastructure as a service mm-hmm. sort of choices. And, you know, we have an aging data center. I've mentioned this before to others that it's kind of located on the edge of a floodplain, and the every 100-year flood that now happens every 5 years seems to always kind of put that data center at risk. And so I think what we've recognized is that data centers are expensive. They cost a lot to maintain. And again, I go back to, I'm not sure replacing my data center, if I'm doing a good job of running my data center, replacing it every 20 years, that investment isn't necessarily, again, driving additional value out of what we need from a healthcare system perspective. And so, you know, I think what we look for is the right opportunities to enter into that sort of hybrid model, because honestly, all of them have benefits. Software as a service is great in the right situation. Platform as a service is great in the right situation, and kind of in between also fits. I think it's difficult to do an all or nothing approach in any of them. And I think especially it's difficult to do if you have some of maybe the fiscal restraints and the sort of limited resources that healthcare providers have in most situations. So again, that hybrid approach, I think, is what you'll see most people dive into. And you know, also just looking for those tangible ways to drive the value if you are going to go in that direction. Cloud has often been sold as a way to reduce costs, change FTEs, those kinds of things. And really, in the end, you're just moving money from one bucket to another, and sometimes you spend more. And it's what are you getting out of it for that different investment that you're making? And I think that's often people don't necessarily look at it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So, you know, already starting to implement cloud and, you know, in your organization, I mean, I come from the vendor side. So I know that, you know, we started with the technology change. We said, hey, we want to deploy our solutions from the cloud. And it, you know, started to trigger a chain of events that is basically transforming our entire organization, right? Because to be able to deliver in a different way, to be able to support the product in a different way, to procure it in a different way. I mean, there are so many things that are changing. This is not just another technology we adopted. This is an organizational transformation. And I'm curious to the changes that might have been triggered by starting to adopt cloud in your organization, Ken. So were you required now to create new roles that you didn't have before, new skills that need to be managed, people changing jobs from what they had before? You know, we start with something, but then we find that, you know, actually to be able to fully deliver it, the change is way bigger than what we estimated initially. So again, what are some of the downstream effects of adopting cloud in the organization? And by the way, what do you see for the future going forward? How is that going to evolve in your mind?
Yeah, so I definitely can speak to the information technology sort of downstream effect. I think obviously what we've seen is it does require maybe a different skill set, right? We've got, you know, your typical IT department is structured with a number of silos of specialists with deep knowledge, you know, and in this case, you know, what we're taking in some cases is these people that have deeply known and learned one particular skill set and infrastructure or one particular application, they maybe have to become more of a generalist, right? Because supporting a platform as a service system or an infrastructure as a service environment is much different than going to the data center and swapping out a drive out of a storage array. And so it is, yeah. It is how do we develop and support those skills? A lot of that we do in partnership with the particular vendors that we're working with. And so, you know, with our enterprise imaging strategy in the cloud, it's, you know, working with the vendor and working with Google to really, you know, expose our team to the environment that they're going to live in and work in. And I see that, you know, continuing to evolve. And I think the role of enterprise architecture, I think, is going to become more and more prevalent because you're making the environment that the healthcare ecosystem within our four walls, you're making that much more complex. And having someone in that sort of architecture role, that sort of almost quarterback role, to coordinate the activities, the connectivity, the technology, and making sure all of this stuff works cohesively, because if it doesn't deliver a cohesive experience for the clinician, then obviously it's going to create consternation and ultimately impact patient care. So I think you're going to see that evolution. I think enterprise architecture especially exists in very large healthcare systems, exists obviously in many other industries, but I think the need as the cloud or as platform as a service, as this stuff gets more complicated, you're going to see those more technical architect roles sort of filter down into smaller to mid-sized healthcare systems. I will also say that as an organization, I think it challenges us to be more flexible and knowing that improvements and change is going to be iterative. And using the example of our traditional approach to radiology, you know, we do an upgrade every year or two. It doesn't change then for a year or two, and then we do an upgrade and it changes all at once. You know, with the cloud and the approach, like you said, your organization is having to learn to work differently, be more iterative, release things, you know, more often. That is also then impacting customers like us, because then we also have to react to the fact that, now the tool has changed for the better, but it has changed and it changes a lot more often. And so, and I think we've all seen this with our experience as we all use the ubiquitous, video conferencing tools or office productivity tools that are now all cloud-based, that, one day that button is here, the next day that button is there. And yet it makes sense, but it's just different. And so I think that kind of reaction is something culturally we're going to have to get used to as well.
Funny, I can share an interesting anecdote on that, Ken. We had a recent, an employee that recently joined us from Amazon. And, we were talking about this exact change that you were describing. And we said, in a regular cadence, we have a release about, every 12 or 18 months. And he said, wow, I mean, what you're saying is that, and he was pretty junior. So he said, in my entire career, you've had maybe 3 releases, right? Because he was counting the years. And he said, in Amazon, I had over 100 releases working there for 2 years. Right. Yeah. And if I worked for you guys, I would have only 3 releases in my entire career. And that shows you the gap of where the IT industry is in general versus enterprise imaging today. And this is a major transformation for both the vendors like Change Healthcare and the healthcare providers that need to start accepting this kind of a reality. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. And
the other
I think
thing I'm taking from. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the other thing about that is it just has to be done well, because I think we've all experienced the times where those changes have been made and then they haven't gone in the right direction. And I think that's when it comes to patient care, I think it's finding that right balance of how much do you move their cheese before you maybe create either patient care issues or efficiency issues that so it's something we're looking forward to, but culturally is going to require some change.
Yeah. The other thing I took from what you said, Ken, is the fact that organizations, and we feel it on our side as well, you need to learn how to consume a service, right? So from switching from a stage of doing the job, right, to a stage where you're consuming a service, takes a organizational maturity that doesn't necessarily always exist, right? For example, defining the SLA that you expect or defining the criteria for go, no go. And again, not talking specifically about Bronson, of course, but in some organization, this is just the job they do and it's not necessarily as well defined. And when you come to consumer service, all of a sudden, many questions arise about, okay, so how quickly can you do this or that? Or what is your standard before you allowed to release something, right? Because in a way you're giving away control and you want to gain some of that back by putting the standards and the practices in place. So I think that's another transformation that I'm seeing, both for our organization and for, other customers we worked with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think unfortunately, people learn the hard way, and often it doesn't go in their favor, because by the time they realize they need those policies or those contractual agreements, those SLAs that they have with those partners, it's probably too late. Because if after the fact you're trying to create or hold a cloud partner to an SLA, it's going to be real difficult to do. And I think sometimes that's where experience matters or learning from others matters, and trying to do some of those things up front to really just keep in mind, like, what your expectations of performance are, what your uptime and SLA approach is. And if you don't do that, you're going to be doing it eventually when you're having problems. So I think it's about timing, and it's a lesson that's often learned the hard way. I'll say that all of this is wrapped into that you need to find the right partners to do this with, because that partnership, like you said, it's a different way of doing business. You become a consumer of a service as opposed to the owner and delivery of the service. And so now you've got to be much better at vendor management. You have to, make sure that those partnerships matter. And if you don't have those partnerships now, you know, where and how are you going to curate them? And do you have the right people to do that? There's often this sort of push-pull between, you know, I guess in healthcare IT, especially between, you know, providers and vendors, right? It's this sort of adversarial relationship that, you know, if I win in a contract negotiation, you lose in a contract negotiation. And that's a very difficult sort of perspective to walk into in a service relationship, because it can't be about win-lose. You have to find that sort of common ground and both be in it together. And partnerships are incredibly important. Vendor management, vendor coordination is incredibly important. And it's a skill often overlooked in IT shops.
Right. Ken, I know that you've been a great evangelist for cloud for cloud adoption within Bronson, right? And you had that vision, and as we said, both the vision and the practical point of view on cloud adoption. Can you maybe share with us a little bit some of the internal challenges you had promoting a cloud first agenda at Bronson?
So, you know, at Bronson, I think, you know, the challenges, you know, really are about framing that practical use case, that practical outcome of this decision. You know, we've all had good and bad experiences with software as a service, and I think those things filter up to the decision makers. So I think it is about, you know, framing that concept of, okay, this is how this is going to help us in the short term. This is how this can help us in the midterm. And this is, you know, the vision that we see in the long term. And if you're selling the long term, I think that can be very difficult to achieve. So for us, mm-hmm. It was really about, you know, making the assurances that this foray into a cloud strategy for imaging wasn't going to impact performance, right? I think we all realize that radiology is, or you know, the medical imaging field is a very it's an efficiency sort of focused role, and so making sure that it's performant and responsive was key in our sort of sales pitch or elevator story as we went to gain adoption. Really highlighting the security and, you know, sort of other business continuity aspects of it. We haven't necessarily been directly bitten by any significant IT security issues, knock on wood. But at the same time, it's a hot topic amongst our leadership team. I give our leadership team a huge amount of credit for being engaged and educated on what the issues are. And so from that perspective, you know, making sure that you know, we were able to align the right stakeholders in this decision. So for us, it was about, you know, a shared vision of where we want to go with, you know, medical imaging with our radiology and cardiology imaging teams, the key players. And that includes the radiologists, the cardiologists, the people who would consume that information and be affected by any changes that we make, whether that's a change to the infrastructure side of things or a change in the tool set. So you know, you have to onboard those people and create that shared vision. And luckily, our approach to that, we've had a pretty collaborative relationship with our radiology department. And how we've architected some of the infrastructure really brought them to the table when we've done a lot of this work. And that really greased the wheels, so to speak, and how we were able to sort of, you know, float this idea of a cloud-based approach to medical imaging and really got their buy-in. Because by then, they were well-versed in the challenges of the life cycling of our cache or our storage archive platform. And they had been through a couple of iterations of storage architecture, infrastructure architecture to make it better or different. And so I think if people are just not involving their stakeholder groups and key partners in some of these things, then I think you're missing an opportunity to help potentially allow you to make a shift in the future if that's what you need. Because they're up to speed. They know what you're doing. It's just not a black box in a data center somewhere. They understand what it does and its value. They don't need to know how the ones and zeros work, but they understand, you know, that it's important, and doing it differently could provide them different value. So.
Thank you. So I think over the last 30 minutes or so, you've shared many nuggets of wisdom about your experience and journey. But, you know, if we want to close the discussion with one advice that you would give someone in your role in a different organization at the beginning of the journey where you were maybe 18 months ago, what would be that advice?
So the advice I would give to someone in my role at an organization like Bronson would be to really look for, you know, the right use case. You know, start small. Take something like, in our case, this storage archive that you have on premise, and move it to the cloud, or evaluate that and moving it to the cloud, and look at all the different costs and options that you have. Because I think if you start, you know, larger, I think if we were to try and replace our entire PAC system with a cloud-based PAC system, I think it would have been a much more difficult, not only discussion. I think people would have been very skeptical of it. I think it would have been a much more difficult approach to achieving success and really identifying not only just the tangible value, but the outcomes that you would lay out. So I think I would start small. And I think some of the other things I've said already, you know, finding the right partner, looking for things that are more than just like a lift and shift approach to, you know, software, or lift and shift approach software to infrastructure. So I think those kind of things that are tangible, I think, resonate the most with your stakeholders or with your executives or your CFOs who control the budget.
Thank you very much, Ken. This has been fascinating. Just like with, you know, every discussion with you, I learned something new, and this meeting was no exception. So again, thank you very much for sharing all of this with me and the rest of our listeners. I hope everybody has a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tomer. I appreciate the time.
You've been listening to the Change Healthcare Podcast. For more information on this and other healthcare IT topics, please visit changehealthcare.com. Don't forget to check the show notes for useful links to related resources and our contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.